cool. You are listening to LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.
This is Max and Friends, and welcome. I'm your host, Max Tucci. Another night here. Sorry, we're just running a little bit late, but like, period, better late than never. We got a lot to talk about tonight. We've got a new segment. It's going to be a lot of fun, called Shout Back with Nicole Bloom. I wrote the jingle. You're going to hear it in just a little bit. But yeah, there's a lot going on. And if you're a Democrat and you want to shout back to a Republican who's going to shout back to you, tonight's the night. So we encourage you to call 323-203-0815. But before we do that, I want to talk about Hot Topics real quick.
Hey, y'all, girls and dolls, pick a topic and you know we're gonna drop it on Max and Friends.
Yes, we're going to talk about Hot Topics tonight on Max and Friends. And first of all, I got to tell y'all, y'all know Antoine Dotson. Hide your kids, hide your wives, and hide your husbands because they're ripping everybody in here. Well, anyway, y'all know that he did an interview with Katie Couric. And for some reason, Perez Hilton loves Antoine Dotson because he's all over Perez's page. So that's a really good Hot Topic. Antoine Dotson making it from the projects. My buddy, what's going on? How you doing? Also, I want to talk about birthdays. Celebrity birthdays today. We got Indy Irie, Nev Campbell, Al Sharpton, Gwen Stefani, my girl Amberlynn. She's a playwright. And of course, Erin Ralph. She has a good magazine called Bullet. So happy birthday, celebrities. Also in Hot Topics, what are we going to talk about? X Factor. Shell falls to pieces. There's a lot going on in Hot Topics. You know, X Factor's like taking over. But it's kind of boring me, don't you think? A little bit, X Factor. And then, oh, y'all know Ralphie, the comedian, Ralphie May. Well, he got busted for pot possession. I mean, you know, I heard a show this week about pot possession and how little things were crazy, but what can I tell you? I don't know. Things are what they are in Hollywood. LA is a whole different place. You know what I mean? Jon Stewart, he fires back at Rick Sanchez. Well, fuck you too, Rick Sanchez. I don't know if he said that, but I think he wanted to. Look, I'm already cursing on the air. Anyway, one more hot topic before we get into our new segment. Kanye West gives one of the best performances of his life. And what you got to do is, on Saturday Night Live, that is, check it out. Go to Saturday Night Live. Speaking of checking things out, go to Delta.com, because that's how I get around. I'm going to Florida next week again. And I love Florida, and I love Delta.com. So flights are on sale now. Check out Delta.com. Other than that, those are the hot topics for today. And the new hot topic is my new segment called Shout Back with Nicole Bloom. That's a hot topic. And the only way you're going to hear it is here on Max and Friends. So, Ronan, why don't we play our new jingle, Shout Back with Nicole Bloom. And we're going to get Nicole in the studio. Shout Back with Nicole Bloom, only on Max and Friends. Call now because she's on the East Coast, so she's got our new segment, Shout Back with Nicole Bloom. She's going to pick up the phone because we got this all arranged. So anyway, here she is, and welcome to your new segment. I'm so excited that we have it. Shout Back with Nicole Bloom. Pull up your mic, Nikki.
I'm excited as well.
What's going on, my friend?
Well, I think to start off this segment, I think I have an interesting topic. And
I love the fact that all of a sudden we got you in the studio, and the first thing you want to do is not even say, hi, Max, how are you? You're just ready to shout back and get into it.
I am so sorry, but I get heated sometimes over some things, and this is just something I've got to get off my back and shout back about.
You do. And you know what's funny is that I've already seen this. Like, I'm starting this here because I know you're going to have a show on Fox one day. I've already predicted this. So before we get into shouting back, because we've moved through this real quick, let's talk about you real quick. Y'all have heard Nicole on my show before. She got ridiculed because she was this big political activist, Republican, tell everyone to vote, gives the wrong date. You all emailed me saying, how can you have someone who's a political you know, expert and gives the wrong date to vote. But you know what? The point is she told you all to vote, and that's what matters. She was just testing you to check your calendars to make sure it was the right day. So it was all a ploy to get you all people make sure you were listening. You know what I'm talking about?
Exactly.
But Nicole's a diehard Republican, has always something to say about everything. Tonight we're going to do politics. In the future when we have her on, because we're going to do this segment, I think maybe once a month, twice a month, depending on how you all react to it. But you always got something to shout back about. Right, Nikki?
I do.
And that's why it's fitting to have you here tonight on Max and Friends Shout Back. Coming up, I just got to let you all know we have Paul Sterling. Yes, he's back in the studio, and we're going to talk about relationships. Now, I know Nicole's got to shout back about those, too. But let's get right into this, Nikki. I'm so glad you're here. I'm going to call her from Nikki from time to time.
Thank you. I do have a couple of things to talk about.
To shout back about. First things first, if you want to shout back, if you want to shout back with Nikki, call 323-203-0815. That's the number of the studio here, and we're going to take your call. So, Nikki, what's the first thing you want to shout back about?
All right. Let's see. Since there's a couple of things, let me start with about 2 weeks ago, I was going to drop my mother off, and my parents live in this great big house. They pay great big taxes. And I pulled off the parkway, and I was met by the police department. I thought maybe it was another storm in the area, tree down, road closed. Well, was I wrong? The police were there because a president was having dinner at a $30,000 a seat dinner at a neighbor's house. And I was not able to drop my mother off by going directly down the street. About, I probably had to go a couple hundred feet to drop her off at her house. And the police redirected me back onto the highway all around the area. It took me about a half an hour to get to my house. That would have only taken less than a minute.
So this pissed you off.
My blood was boiling. It's still boiling.
Now, why was your blood boiling?
I felt as if rights were infringed upon. Here are taxpayers just going to live their lives. And all we needed was maybe a police escort, a Secret Service agent escort. But no, we were inconvenienced, had to go back and around the whole area half an hour on a rainy night out of the way. My blood was boiling.
Now, is this because you don't like Obama? Tell the truth.
That on top of that, yes, I am not a fan of the Obama administration. So that was bad enough. Okay. Well, last week when the president was in the city and Ahmadinejad was in the city, I parked my car. I went across Madison Avenue, 8:30 at night. There I was met by 50 people on the street corner, told by the police officer, you cannot cross the street until the brigade goes through. Now, okay, you would think once your life is infringed upon by the president, okay, I can handle that. It was hard, but I did it. But a week or two later, I can't cross the street in New York City. Now, really, that got my blood boiling. I had to wait 20 minutes, and when I made it clear that I didn't vote for him, that I want to cross the street, people started shouting out to me, Sarah Palin lover, Sarah Palin lover, and making faces at me and moving away from me. And this is the America we live in, where if you want to express your rights, people have to make faces and all kinds of motions towards
you
and
so
move
now,
away.
What would you do to change things?
Well, first I would change the administration.
All right. Well, speaking of the administration and changing, this is good. You know, Rahm Emanuel got the boot from Obama, but they were hugging and making up like they were best friends. And now he's running for mayor of Chicago. What do you think about that?
Yeah, well, politics as usual. I think, interestingly enough, I hope that they have a very good, strong Republican candidate to meet him with opposition. But it's all politics. I think he was only in that position, of course, to advance himself to make this move to run for Chicago. But, yeah, these things, you know, it's very, very disturbing. But I'm glad that the Republican committee has Mr. Steele, who is Michael Steele, as everybody knows. And he has a bus that is to it's called the Fire Nancy Pelosi bus. And it's going every state. It's making its way across all the states of our nation.
So this is the RNC bus, the big bus, right?
Yes.
What is it, like painted red
it's
or something?
Colin, he's head of the Republican National Committee, the RNC, and he's taking this bus to every state to get the word out there, just as the Tea Party movement is doing state to state, and it's got people going in every area. He is doing the same thing to not, you know, let people know about the Congress and how we need some more Republicans in the Congress, because right now it's strictly Democratic. And that's why everybody needs to get out there and vote and make their word known so everybody can, you know, shout back and have something to say.
Speaking of shouting back, what do you think of the mosque in New York?
Oh, yeah, the mosque in New York. Actually, I didn't want to, that was one of the things I didn't want to talk about, because I almost feel that it's almost like a mini civil war in our own country, that this was the mission that was set out to be accomplished. If only the Muslim population that is the fighting part of the population, perhaps I know all Muslim population are not, but by having the mosque there where 3,000 plus people were killed, murdered, and more, you know, people's families' lives were affected. So it affected millions of people. So I do not believe the mosque should be built right so close to ground zero. But I do believe that the people that wanted a mini civil war in this country, because a lot of people are fighting, people are for the mosque from this country, people are against the mosque in built in New York City. And I just think that people fighting amongst each other, Americans, New Yorkers, people from all different states are now fighting against each other, which I think is just, it's tragic that we as Americans should be for the mosque.
And divided. You know, it's like this country came together during September 11th, and now we're becoming divided. But let me tell you something. You know, Nikki, inside of the Pentagon, that which also, you know, was destructed, which a plane did fly in allegedly. I say allegedly because there's really – I know there's like no proof about a plane flying in. I don't want to speculate. I say allegedly. Anyway, according to their reports, the plane destroyed the Pentagon. Inside the Pentagon, Nikki, there's also a mosque though. So why is it fair that where people were killed also in the mosque that they can't put it in New York?
Right. Now, that's a very valid point that you make. However, my understanding is that that area of worship in the Pentagon is actually for all religions to worship, Catholic, Christian, Muslim, any religion that one might be. So I do think there is a misunderstanding about that, that it's not strictly a mosque. It is a house of worship for all faiths of religion.
Okay, no Pentagon mosque. Fact checking. Is there a mosque inside the Pentagon? Question. The Pentagon has a non-denominational chapter that holds services for employees who follow various religions. Nikki, you're right. Shout back, girl. Look at you knowing your stuff. Full answer on CNN, State of the Union, August 15, Democrat and Republican Gerald Nadler of New York spoke in favor of Muslim groups' right to build a conversational Islamic center and mosque near Ground Zero in New York. Nader pointed out to the host, Candy Crowley, that no one had similarly objected to a mosque in the Pentagon, which was also destroyed, in which the Pentagon does not have a mosque. It has a non-denominational chapel. Nikki, you're right about that. Now, let me ask you a quick question, Nikki. You know, speaking of the mosque and the mayor, you know, we've heard Mayor Giuliani was doing his thing.
Mayor Giuliani.
But Bloomberg, you know, Mosque Mike. That's where I'm going with this. We've heard people have been called Mosque Mike. What do you think about it? What do you think?
To me, it's another tragic thing. I was born in New York, raised in New York, and it's just tragic that, you know, it's like a disrespect for the thousands and thousands of people affected. If each person of the 3,000 has only 5 people in their family, that's a lot of people to be affected by this. Aunts, uncles, brothers, sisters, grandparents, it's a lot of people. And it also is a known fact that the Muslim community built mosques, many of their mosques, where they claim victory on the soil. So for them, the 9/11 was victorious. Therefore, that's why they want to build the mosque so close to the 9/11 site, because we all know New York does have a lot of land. They could find land on the Upper West Side, Upper East Side. There's many places. It could be in Queens. It could be in Brooklyn. There's many areas to build the mosque. That's not the issue, I think, being fought here, is against a mosque being built. It is a disrespect to the thousands of families that are affected that have lost loved ones on 9/11. And I think people need to remember what happened on 9/11, because many, many years have passed. And I think people forget because they don't portray it anymore too often on TV. But I do want all people to remember what did happen and how tragic it is. And we don't need a reminder by having a mosque right within the vicinity of the 9/11 site.
All right. Well, let's talk about employment real quick, Nikki, because all these places you're saying, Brooklyn, Queens, Bronx, all these different areas where there's lands, there's also jobs, because you and I, you know, we traveled a lot. We went to Florida. You see signs everywhere that say now hiring. So let's talk a little bit about employment, Nikki, in the United States of America, because I know you want to shout back about that.
Oh, absolutely, and I'm glad that you mentioned that. Look, I thought I had a couple of things to talk about. I have many things to talk about. The unemployment, yes. Well, I know a lot of people that are hiring. I mean, there's Craigslist. They're always hiring. There are many jobs. However, people might have to take a job that maybe is a little beneath what they're like, and maybe it affects their pride. But there are always jobs in this country. However, extending unemployment to 99 weeks is going to make people more dependent on the government, which is one of the primary focuses of the Obama administration, is to make people dependent on the government. That's the Democratic platform, a government-dependent society. However, there's different degrees to that. I do believe in helping certain sects of the society, perhaps the elderly and children. But when you make the unemployment 99 weeks, you create a society that's dependent on the government. A lot of people, an average American who's making a minimum wage or a little above, it's a good idea for them to stay on unemployment for 99 weeks rather than maybe slave away at a job. And 99 weeks is just too long. That's 2 years. A lot can happen in 2 years. It's way too much time, 2 years. I want everybody to think about that amount of time, 2 years, all that could take place and all that can happen in life in 2 years.
Well, you know what's funny is that they say 99 weeks because it sounds like it's like a minute. You know, when you say 99 weeks, it sounds like it's a minute. But
right.
When you say 2 years, you really hear the length of time that's really taken up. Now, let me talk to you real quick, because since we're talking about – we've got a lot to talk about. We're going to cover some of it here tonight. But you know what? I want to talk about the people, because we were talking about this the other day on welfare. Listen, you said I'm here to hear you shout back. It's not about what I think tonight. It's about what you think. I'm just arguing with you for the sake of argument. Now, you said between the elderly and the young, what happens between that age where you think once you've done that education and now you're on welfare? We were talking about it the other night. You were heated. You were in debate. You were saying, this is what I think. What do you think about welfare?
Right.
Shout back.
Right, right. Well, welfare was created in World War II for women who had children and their husbands were all fighting to defend this country. And somewhere along the line, the Democrats kind of misconstrued the purpose of what welfare is.
Nikki, and hold that thought. We have a caller. Caller, you're live on the air. Who's this and where are you calling from?
Yes, this is Vinny, and I'm calling from Westchester, New York.
Now, do you want to shout back to Nicole?
I do. You know, Nicole, you sound like a very educated woman. You have a lot to speak about your politics and the whole unemployment thing. I really think that people who are in the not employed and they are looking for jobs currently, you know, it could take months and months before somebody could really find a job. And for Obama to extend the unemployment benefits, I really think is a great benefactor to the people that are having a very difficult time finding jobs.
Nikki, shout back.
Well, I'm not against unemployment, not at all. Of course, it could take some time. It could take 3 months. It could take 6 months. But I do think if somebody is actually actively looking for a job, I don't think they should be dependent on the government. It was a year. It was extended to 2 years. And, it could keep going up and up because it started 6 months, then a year, now 2 years, 99 weeks. And it really, I mean, an able-bodied citizen, it doesn't take 2 whole years to find a job. Like I said, a lot of people don't want to take the job, a job that perhaps they feel is beneath them, that they have too much pride. However, a job is a job, and a job does pay the bills, and when bills need to be paid, you need to find a job, not depend on the government to support your spending habits. So that, you know, I do agree with unemployment. I do not agree with the length of time of it, of 2 years.
Thanks for shouting back.
I know, I understand where you're coming from with your situation and, you know, related to 2 years. I mean, it is a long time. But again, though, if somebody is having an extremely difficult time finding a job, obviously they just can't be homeless and give up what they've maybe worked for so many years and earned. They have to fall back somehow. I mean, ultimately, you are paying into your unemployment. I mean, obviously, that's why you pay all these different taxes and fees when you work. So, in everyone, some people's eyes, I mean, you're actually paying for your unemployment in certain ways. Do you guys
agree?
All right,
Vinny, let me say, Nick, before you shout back, I want to shout back real quick. Let me tell you something. Taco Bell is hiring. Dunkin' Donuts is hiring. If you need 99 weeks to find a job, they're out there. You know what? Go work there if you got to do what you got to do. But don't spend 99 weeks, 2 years of your life saying you can't find a job. I mean, I think it's ridiculous.
No, I agree. But I think that, you know, I just want to know why Miss Nicole Bloom is just so, you know, why is she so about this unemployment thing? I mean, what does she have to do with the unemployment?
Because
exactly.
She's passionate and she has a company that employs people.
Well,
I'm sorry, what was that?
You on that. Companies pay the unemployment insurance. It's not the employees that pay into unemployment insurance. Companies pay into unemployment insurance. And, of course, it could be fought, and it goes before a court, a unemployment board. It goes to the Department of Labor. And unemployment is not a guaranteed thing to an employee. First, an employee that quits does not get unemployment. It's an employee that is fired that gets unemployment, fired for whatever reason. So in these days with the Obama administration and the taxes being raised on companies, they are going to have to let go corporate America, small businesses that employ most of society does work for small businesses. When they raise the taxes on those small businesses, perhaps they could raise the unemployment insurance. That's what pays the unemployment. So it does cost the companies. And when there's expenses put on companies, that's when they have to lay off more people. So you create an employment.
Well, Nicole, you keep speaking about a company, and Max mentioned a few minutes ago that you own a company. So is this why you feel so strongly about the situation? Because you yourself own a company and you ultimately have to maybe possibly pay out people unemployment?
That's only partially, of course, absolutely partially. How 50%, how are the other 50% knows that it doesn't take 2 years to find a job? It could take months. It could possibly take close to a year, but it's impossible for somebody that's actively looking for a job to not be able to find a job for 2 years, even within their field. And if it can't be within someone's field, then a person that has to pay bills has to take a job to pay the bills. But there are jobs. Jobs are plentiful out there. But when you start taxing corporate America, that's when creates a huge job deficit, and that will make it where there are going to be maybe one day very few jobs with lots of people.
Well, let me ask you, Nicole, now, you speak about that you own a business and whatnot. Now, let's say you were to fire an employee. How do you feel about paying them back, like with unemployment? Would you pay them?
Well,
I mean, ultimately, what do you feel about that situation? I have to hear your words of wisdom.
Absolutely, absolutely. At the company that I own, when somebody is fired, most of our employees work with us for many years, 20, 30 years. But when we do have to fire someone, that's someone that really does not deserve unemployment. Either they were detrimental to costing us business, losing a client. So we go to the unemployment board and we fight that, and we do not pay. We do not pay unemployment. We have paid unemployment over the course of years, but we do fight that and we do not pay it. And that's on a case-by-case basis, depending on the reason that the individual is fired. We have fired people where we have not fought the unemployment. It depends on the situation. However, the company, I just want to state for the record, does pay into unemployment insurance. The employees do not contribute to that insurance.
All right. Well, you know what, Vinny? Thanks so much for taking the time to shout back to Nicole Bloom. We had a great segment with you. Have a great night. Nikki, this is good. You see how people get heated?
And I love it. I love it because I understand I'm on one side and when people are on the other side, so it's always nice to hear what the other side has to say.
Well, Nikki, thanks for shouting back. We're going to move from politics and shouting back and employment and education. We're going to go into relationships now with Paul Sterling. So, Nikki, thanks so much for being on the show. Thanks for joining our Max and Friends group, and thanks for your new segment. our new segment. What
Thank
is it called?
You.
And have a good night, Nikki.
Good night, everyone.
Shout
good night.
With Nicole Bloom, only on Max and Friends.
I'm your host, and we're going to get Paul Sterling on because we're going to move right into new things. Ronan, before we do that, tell everyone what they're listening to. Paul is here, and we're live in the studio. Paul, what's going on, and welcome back.
Well, I'm excited about being back, and I'm excited about talking about relationships and relationship communication. So it's something that's always interested me, and I definitely haven't always been good at it. You know, in fact, I went through one divorce and two broken engagements on the way. And so at some point I said, you know, this is just too painful, and I really have to learn it as a skill. That it's actually a skill, and communication is a skill, and you put the two together and you can actually create a relationship that's pretty fantastic. And if you don't, you kind of set yourself up for failure.
Absolutely. Well, communication is a big thing. And as you heard just in the prior segment, there was a lot of communication going on. And I could see how with two people's beliefs being so strong, how relationships could be affected. Now, I want to talk about, Paul, helping relationships turn around. So I know it's something that you talk about on your website, everyone, which is magicrelationship.net/Max. Check that out, because Max and Friends has a thing going on with Paul. And if you check him out on the site and you get his books there, we get credit for it. So Paul is a good man and giving credit where credit is due, and he's going to help you all in your relationships. So how do we get the relationship turned around, Paul?
Yeah, and actually, Max, one tiny thing about that, if there's a note at the bottom of that page, the magicrelationship.net/Max, that if they get my ebook, which is normally like four.
I think we lost Paul, but we're going to get him right back up here. It happens sometimes here in the studio, but Paul will be right back on, and he's going to tell us about the deal. The government is fucking with us because they don't want you to get your deal. So, Paul, what's that deal again?
Okay. It's $19.95 if they get it through that your link there, the magicrelationship.net/Max.
Perfect.
So let's dive in, though.
Let's do this.
It's an interesting thing to think about, because I have a background also in the areas of quality control and systems thinking. So I think of systems, and what I was trying to figure out is why people don't have what they want anywhere in life. And there's really only three main reasons. And then we'll apply it specifically to relationships. Three main reasons is, number one, they're going to seem obvious, but number one is you don't know what to do. And if you don't know what to do, then the idea is to go out and get some educational material and learn about it. If you want to get rich, you got to get an education on creating wealth. If you want to become a doctor, you get education on that. If you want to have a great relationship, you get educated in that field. So number one reason people don't have what they want, because they don't know what to do. Number two reason is they're not doing what they know. Like, if you know that you should treat your lover better, if you should do things special for them, if you should create magical moments, and you're not doing that, then you're not going to get what you want. Those two make sense, Max?
Absolutely. I hope they make sense to our listeners, because we've had a lot of response today to relationships, and people have so many questions, Paul, which leads me to believe that they're not where they want to be. So what's number three? I think I lost Paul again. We're back. We're here. Paul, are you still with us?
I am. We seem
to have
a bump.
Let me tell you something. No, you know what? It's communication. I think when the point is to get across with communication, there's always some kind of a challenge, whether it be on the air or in a relationship. So what was number three, Paul?
Number three is you're doing the right things. you're doing them the right way, and the results are just in lag. Like if you want to have $100,000 in a savings account and you're putting away $100 or $200 a week or a month or whatever it is, you're not there yet, but you're doing the right things. You're doing them in the right way, and the results are in lag. Now, most people, that's not the issue. Most people, the issue is either they don't know what to do or they're not doing what they know.
Absolutely. Well,
and what I wanted to do, though, is give people some specific things on what they can change to turn things around. Because, you know, as one of my mentors once told me, he says, change isn't always better, but better is always change. And if you want to make things better, you're going to have to change something in your relationship.
Well, you know what I always say, Paul? Change doesn't change until you change. So what are some ways that can help us change?
Well, the number one thing is, how do you communicate differently? And we talked about this. We've talked about the five mistakes that if you can stop doing these five mistakes, and the five mistakes, in case people need a refresher, are number one, case building. Anytime you build a case against your lover and make them bad, stupid, wrong, you're not going to get what you want, and intimacy will disappear. Number two was storytelling, where you make up stories about your partner without checking them out and finding out, you know, when you were late, I told myself the story that you didn't care about me. Is that true? You know, and they might have been shopping for a gift for you. And so storytelling, message assuming is mistake number three, assuming that they actually heard what we said and in the way we wanted them to hear it. Mistake number four, cup stuffing, which is when you're trying to put something in to tell somebody something when they're already full. They don't have any more room to hear anything else from you. And the last thing is mistake number five is the fatal F's called male-itis. So yeah, that's when we try to fix, fight, or flee. We try to fix our lover, fight with them, or flee from them. So those are some of the things to avoid. Then the four steps to intimacy are how to connect to your lover, things to do. And one of the things, Max, and we've talked a little bit about this on one of the earlier shows, I think, is that the normal outcome for most communication is misunderstanding. And if you know that in advance, it's not as upsetting. You know, you say, honey, will you take out the trash? And they look at you like you just shot them or something. Mm-hmm. And you go, can you tell me what you heard me say? And they say, yeah. What you said is, I never help around the house. And that can be really confusing.
Yeah.
What you said is, will you take out the trash? What they heard is very different.
Well, you know, that was when we had that question from that Twitter. I have it here on file because I keep things organized. But when they said, you know, our chemistry's not right, or the chemistry is gone. And what they heard was, I don't like you anymore. But in reality, what you said was, and I remember you said that there were two things. One, it's either a cry for help. And the other one was what?
An act of love.
There you go.
And it's learning how to translate. And I know, Max, you speak, I don't know how many languages.
Five.
Five languages. So puts me to shame. I stumble around with just English and, you know, a few words from the other countries I've worked in. But it's like learning how to translate in really hard to hear messages into the underlying. It's either an act of love or cry for help. You know, when you have a little kid and they say, mommy, I hate you, or daddy, I hate you, you don't hear that they hate you. What do you translate that into? What are they really saying?
Mommy, daddy, I need you.
Yeah, I'm tired. I'm hungry. Frustrated. But when our lover says, honey, I hate you, then it's like, whoa, we actually like listen to the words and don't translate. We kind of miss that translation part.
And then want to fight back.
Right. Of course, you know, and that's one of the things that's really important, because I went through the five mistakes, the four steps. And tonight, the viewers, I keep thinking
listeners.
That listeners, you listeners out there, they can get it's like I created a 12 or 13 page PDF handout that they can print out. And it goes through the seven keys also. And we haven't talked much about the seven keys here, Max, but I will dive into them. And one of the seven keys is that understanding doesn't equal agreement. Mm-hmm. So if my lover says, you never help around the house. And I'm thinking, you know, I just did the laundry. I just did this. I did this and this. You know, I want to get into an argument because I'm afraid if I actually understand what she's feeling, then it will equal agreement that I don't help. The way to do it, though, is to go, oh, tell me more. So when I didn't, you know, fold the laundry or do the dishes the other day or whatever it is, it was so painful for you that all the other stuff that I did didn't matter anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, how do you really understand somebody? And, you know, I noticed you were talking about Republicans and Democrats. And the way I came up with this is I was working for a company as a consultant. I was watching the owner of the company argue with one of their top managers. And one was a Republican, one was a Democrat. And they were arguing like intensely, but nobody was listening. Both people were yelling. Nobody was listening. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, I realized that they were afraid of actually understanding each other. And the challenge was there was no chance for anybody to change or understand each other until somebody stopped and said, tell me more. Let me listen to you.
Yeah.
So if you want, I'll whip through the seven keys unless you've got a specific question that you want me to answer.
You know what? It's not a question that I want you to answer, but it's a question that a listener wants you to answer. And it's about commitment phobia. I sent you the link earlier and they were questioning, you know, and they want to know your advice on really what commitment phobia is and how to overcome it.
Okay. So I went and actually read the article on that. And one of the things he said is it's about fear. And if you think about what drives people in life is feelings and needs. And if they're afraid of something, they're afraid they're not going to get certain needs met. And so when we're afraid, we're pulling back. And it's the whole idea is how to get your needs met. Now, look at whoever set up relationships, whether you believe it was God or the universal spirit or just DNA. There's this built-in trap, and on one side of the spectrum, human beings have this incredibly intense need for autonomy, space, and independence. On the other side, we have a need for intimacy, connection, sexuality. So the needs for sexuality and connection and commitment and communication and community pull us into a relationship. The needs for independence and autonomy pull us out of a relationship. They're equal and opposite. And if we don't see how to get both sets of needs met, we do several things. One is either we get in and out of relationships. We're in for a little while, we're out, because we don't know how to ask for to get our needs for independence met. In almost any relationship you're in, one person's going to have more needs for connection. The other person's going to have more needs for independence. And so people get confused and they say this thing about commitment. Why, if you don't see how you're going to get your needs met in a relationship, why would you want to be committed to it?
Well, it's a good question to ask, but I'm not in a relationship, so I can't answer that question right now.
So what you've done is you found a different way to get your needs met.
Living life.
Right. And that's just a dance. So it's like the only logical reason to be committed is because it meets a lot of your needs and creates a safe space for you and your lover to grow.
Right.
And you know, if you're really,
but you know, Paul, I got to tell you, I believe also in a lot of relationships don't work because people don't really know themselves. So if you don't know yourself, how are you going to know your lover? Like, and you know, that's the thing with myself. I know that I can say, I know who I am. You know what I mean? I know myself. I know what I like. I know what I dislike. So when I go into a relationship, I'm prepared, and I'm not going to say fight the battle in a negative term, but I'm ready to like take on the challenges of a relationship because I know what I like, because I know who I am. So what happens when you don't know who you are and you enter a relationship?
Well, you put a lot of pressure on your partner and you put a lot of pressure on yourself. So I'm going to use a sports analogy, Max, for your life right now. If you know who you are and you know, say you like tennis, then you can say to your lover, you know what? a relationship with me is like a game of tennis. And if they go, no, I want to play basketball or something else, they know you're not the right person. It's right. Not personal. But what's your vision, values, what's important to you, what's not important to you in a relationship? And the clearer you are on those things, the more likely you are to make it work. What most people don't know is a lot of their relationships were doomed from the start.
Yes.
You know, the metaphor I came up with for this, if you think about it, you know, if you got drunk one night and went to a bar and gathered together a bunch of guys and said, let's go climb Mount Everest together because you guys are good drinking buddies. What do you think? I mean, the climb is doomed from the start. You may get halfway up before everybody gets killed, but it's doomed from the start because you didn't put together the team based on what are their skills, what are their values, what's their vision. It's because you felt good together.
Absolutely.
And that's how a lot of relationships are put together. It felt good, and then they said, let's get together and do it, but they didn't have the relationship skills. And the truth is, you need communication skills in a relationship. You need to be able to negotiate, to navigate, to resolve conflicts, to clear up misunderstandings. You know, there's that movie out there, It's Complicated. Mm-hmm. And of course it's complicated. It's a friggin' relationship.
That it is. And you know what, everyone, you're listening to? This is Max and Friends. I'm your host, Max Tucci. I got Paul Sterling here tonight, everyone. Check out magicrelationship.net. It's all about communication and about relationships. And it's our relationship with you listeners tonight, and we want to help you in your relationships. So, Paul, how do we tackle relationships? What's the perfect way to have a perfect relationship? And do they exist?
Yeah. Well, the perfect way to have a perfect relationship is give up on that idea that it's perfect. You know, it's to find the idiosyncrasies in yourself and love, like you were saying, build a relationship with yourself, and then find out the things you love about your partner and start creating what I call magical moments. You know, I said earlier there's these seven rules, and they're in that little PDF that people can download from your page there.
But magicrelationship.net/max. Continue.
The number one thing is make it easy to win. Life is hard enough. You know, make it easy to win in your relationship. And then, like in the beginning of a relationship, your lover can bring you a rock off the beach, and it's like, oh, really, for me, a rock? And you know, like your heart beats and you're all excited. And later on, it's like, oh, you bought me a Mercedes. I don't like that color.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's like we make it harder and harder to win, and slowly the relationship falls apart, and it's not as much fun. And that ties into, so rule number one, make it easy to win. Rule number two, which is kind of ties into rule number one, it's about the greatest gift we can give. And the greatest gift we can give is the gift of receiving. Like in a relationship, Max, and I know you said you're not in one now, but I know you've been in them. And do you like to give gifts?
Absolutely.
And what's it like if someone kind of goes, oh, that's nice.
And what?
You know, they're not enthusiastic about it.
Take it personally.
So let me not. Yeah. Well, so the greatest gift we can give is the gift of receiving the gifts in a way with enthusiasm, with, you know, with love, and like really let your partner know that it touches them. And even if the gift is something you don't want, acknowledge the intention. You know,
so it's like, you're not lying about the gift, because I know that I'm going to have people email me and they'll be like, I'm not lying about the gift.
No, you never lie about the gift.
The intention. You could say, listen, honey, I love you for giving this to me, but let's go return it together.
Yeah. And let's pick out something together, because you know what? I don't need a fishing rod. I don't fish or I don't, you know, whatever it is, so that you can separate those two things, because you collapse them and it really gets yucky. But if you can separate it and say, oh my God, you were really thinking about me, weren't you? And you care.
So it's really all about acknowledgement. And we said this last time when you were on, you know, in a relationship, people don't acknowledge one another. And that's when things start falling apart. And I also believe compromise is a huge thing in a relationship.
Well, I see, here's the challenge. I would say resolution versus compromise, because compromise, it sounds good at first, but if you really look at it, Max, underneath it is lose-lose.
Okay.
And there's a way to go to win-win. So instead, like, you know, say you want to go to a Mexican restaurant, I want to go to Chinese, and we compromise and go to an Indian restaurant. Nobody wanted to go to that restaurant, but it was our compromise. Versus
all right. See, now I would tackle it this way. I would say, let's do, and you know, this is an ideal situation. And you know, if you want the relationship to work, this is like how I would compromise this. I'd say, okay, so tonight you want Mexican, let's go to Mexican. But tomorrow night, this is what I want.
So and that actually, I would look at that.
That's win-win, no?
Yeah, that's win-win. So it's actually at some levels, it's not compromise.
Yes, though. Right. And if someone says, no, I'm not doing that, that's when you start fighting. And that's when you end up at an Indian restaurant miserable.
Yeah. So I think that's a great way, because what might happen is you might go to a restaurant you would never have gone to before on their night. And then you go to a restaurant that you really want to go to on your night. And it becomes, like you said, win-win versus compromise. You resolve it in a way that both people walk away feeling good. You have a chance to really give. And you said you love to give, and I think most people love to give.
Yeah.
So you get to give your lover what they really want. They want the Mexican. You might want Italian or whatever.
Well, you know, we're talking lightly about, you know, dinners. But I also say, Paul, in, you know, sexuality and sexualness and eroticism and all of that is a big factor in relationships. And I always say, you know, in giving and winning and receiving and taking, if your partner asks you to do the most pornographic bullshit, do it, because if you don't, someone else will. And that, that comes into that win-win situation. I think that's – a lot of relationships don't break up, I don't think, because of, you know, someone wanted Mexican, someone wanted Indian. A lot of them break up because of the sexualness and the win-win situation in performing.
And it's about trust, because if you trust somebody – then it's able to do that dance. Now, you would say someone wants to try something new in the bedroom. There's a temptation. If your fear comes up, what a lot of people will go is, oh, that's disgusting. Or I would never do that.
Right.
Versus being honest. And the honest response is, oh, I'm scared. I'm scared if that's uncomfortable. I won't be able to stop. I won't be able to say I want to stop. So I'm going to stop it now because I don't trust I can stop it later. So if you learn how to communicate and get that trust in there and say, you know what? You can say yes or no or stop at any time and I will stop. And you get that dance. And the more that there's that trust built, and there's two trusts. The trust that I trust myself, that I can take care of myself and say no to something in the middle of it, even if it's no longer fun. Mm-hmm. And the trust that if I say no, the other person, my partner, will acknowledge that and stop.
Absolutely. Well, you know what? So I like this new phrase, win-win. Everyone, compromise is great, but win-win is going to make things work. So whether it's something sexually new that you want to try, do a win-win situation. Trust one another. Talk to one another, right, Paul?
Absolutely.
And I got to tell everyone real quick, go to magicrelationship.net/max. That's what someone just tweeted me. magicrelationship.net/max. Continue, Paul. We have like 2 minutes. We got to wrap it up. Speaking of wrapping things up, people, if you want to have sex and you don't know who you're having sex with, wrap it up. Let's talk. My public service announcement.
Yeah, it's a good one. Well, most relationships don't end because of a lack of love. They end because they run into a problem that's bigger than their skill set. And the number one skill to have in relationships is communication. It won't solve everybody's problems. And you know what? Here's the thing that, you know, in the world of marketing, you're supposed to say it's easy. It's not easy. It's challenging. There are a lot of like courses out there that are all about manipulation and tricking your partner and, you know, quick fix. But the problem is, if you deal with the symptom and not the cause, the problem's going to come back. This is like learn how to communicate and with yourself and with your lover in a powerful way that will really make a difference. And it will affect every relationship in your life.
Absolutely. Well, you know what, Paul? We're going to have you back on from time to time because we have some great conversation. And the next time we have you back on, we're going to talk about if you believe that people should live together before they get married, because that's a question we had. But we ran out of time to answer it tonight. So, Twitterer, thank you for that question. But we're going to tackle that the next time Paul is on. And even if we have you, Paul, on for like a couple minutes in the segment, then we'll do that because I think it's a great conversation that we have and people learn from it. So it's a win-win situation.
Thanks very much, Max. We'll talk to you later.
All right, Paul. And you know what, everyone? If you missed any part of the show tonight, you can go to LA Talk Radio, right to Max and Friends, and you could pick up the archive because we're always there. And again, Paul's page, magicrelationship.net/Max. Paul Sterling, you're a great advice giver. So thank you so much for being on the show tonight because people are tuning in to hear you. So we appreciate you on.
All right. Have a great night.
To my friend. See, everyone, we get so involved with Shoutback and all my new segments that the show just goes so much fun, and y'all are tuning in listening at a good time because this show is going places, and we thank you for the 2.5-year journey that you took with us. And I want to say hi to Vito and Vinny, and also CBS News is coming up next after the show. Delta.com, that's how I get around. T-Mobile, I love my T-Mobile sidekick. Also, everyone, I just got to let you know that October is, you know, Breast Cancer Awareness Month and the whole pink thing. We're opening up a store in New Canaan, Connecticut called the Pink Plume. It's a vintage and consignment shop. Speaking of pink, everyone, there's a thing called Army of Pink right now. And I want you to go to GlendaleAdventist.com. Check that page out, GlendaleAdventist.com, and vote for Greg Zarian because, my friends, he's going to win the Army of Pink. There's a whole thing going on there. But you know what? Get involved. You know what? Now's the time to get checked. A mammogram doesn't hurt people. Get your tatas, you know, pushed under that mammogram machine. And men too, get yourself checked because breast cancer is rising, men. I'm not here to be the bearer of bad news, but the truth. So everyone, the truth will set you free. And on that note, have a great week. Thanks for tuning in to Max and Friends, and I'll catch you next time. And remember to take life to the max. Stay tuned for CBS News. I'm your host, Max Tucci. Have a good night.